Welcome to Family Law Talk.
Family Law Talk.
Presented by Kirk Stange of Stange Law Firm, PC. Stange Law Firm is a multi-state family law firm. Now, here's your host, Kirk Stange.
Welcome to Family Law Talk. We have an interesting topic today. The topic is, what is a default divorce? And this is based on an article on our blog, DivorceLawyersSt.LouisMo.com, dated October 18th, 2023. And the title of that article is, what is a default divorce in St. Louis? So as a follow-up to the episode today, go on over to that blog and read the article titled, what is a default divorce in St. Louis? But let's go ahead and jump into the topic today. Obviously, a contentious divorce can be troublesome and nobody wants it. Certainly, a separation can be difficult in lots of instances as well, particularly cases where maybe there's been fighting or arguing taking place at home, or maybe it's a situation where one party wants the divorce and another party doesn't want it. Maybe they think the marriage is still savable or something in that regard. All right, so then jump into the topic of what's a default divorce. Well, look, oftentimes a divorce begins where one party files that divorce. They file the paperwork to get the process going, and then what they attempt to do is serve the papers on their spouse. Sometimes, again, a spouse doesn't want a divorce. Maybe they don't want to accept the papers. So oftentimes, service can be waived. But let's say a party refuses to do that. They refuse to waive service. Then what ends up happening is a sheriff or special process server actually has to serve those papers on the other party. Sometimes that can be easy. Sometimes that can be difficult. It just depends. Divorce papers could be served at home. They could be served at work, let's say. They could be served at other locations as well. And that can be easier if a person has a pattern of going to the same place. And certainly special process servers who are not sheriffs, so they're not employees of a county, but they're private, will oftentimes engage in greater efforts to obtain service. And so they might go to other locations to attempt to serve the papers. But let's say they serve the other party the papers, so they find them, they give the papers to the other party. Then the issue that's out there is then the party who's been served, they have to respond, so they have to file responsive pleadings. Obviously, this is going to vary based on the laws in a particular state, so there can be different nuances, but typically a party's got to file an answer to the divorce petition, let's say. They oftentimes file a counter petition for divorce if they want it to, maybe a counter petition for legal separation if they're separated and they don't want to be divorced, and they file other paperwork as well, typically financial statements and if there's kids, a proposed parenting plan and whatnot. But there's a timeline to do this, okay? And again, the laws are going to vary by the state that a party's in. But in the state of Missouri, the timeline is 30 days. So it's 30 days to file these responsive pleadings with the court. And what ends up happening in some cases is a party kind of puts their head in the sand, okay? So they don't hire an attorney. They don't file their responsive pleadings within the 30 days. Even though they were served, maybe they just act like they weren't served for whatever reason. They've got their head figuratively in the sand. Maybe an individual doesn't understand the timelines. And certainly in some circumstances, parties can maybe procrastinate or be overwhelmed, and they just don't do what they need to do to get the answer and the responsive pleading filed within the 30 days. So when that happens, then what that does, it gives the ability of the party who filed the case and served the papers on the other party the ability to file what's called a motion for default. And the motion for default would, again, typically state, hey, the other party was served on X date. The timeline has passed for them filing their responsive pleadings, and maybe the court has not granted an extension. So in theory, a party can come in on day 29 and 30 and ask for more time. Courts oftentimes will liberally give some extra time to party, but let's say they don't do anything. They don't request extra time. They don't file anything, and the 30 days have passed. Again, motion for default gets filed is the typical move, and then the attorney notices the motion for default for hearing and, again, notifies the party who's been served of the hearing date. So typically, you know, provides a copy of it. It could be through the mail or it could be through electronic means like email, but they provide a copy of the motion for default to the other party. There's a hearing date, and then the motion for default is heard. And so then the question a lot of parties have is, well, what happens at the default hearing? And there's really a couple options. I mean, option one is the party who filed for divorce shows up with their attorney, let's say, and let's say the other party doesn't show up. They're just not there. That's possibility one. Possibility two is a party who was served comes to court. And maybe they come to court with an attorney, or maybe they come to court by themselves, but they come to court, and that would be scenario two. And within scenario two, maybe they come to court and they still don't have the paperwork, right? They come by themselves, they still haven't filed their responsive pleadings, or maybe they come to court and they have their responsive pleadings in hand, and maybe they request leave from the court to file their answer out of time. Okay, so these are your two scenarios. Under scenario two, if they show up and they've got their responsive pleadings and they request additional time, I mean, typically a judge is going to give a person a little bit more time to do that. Now, if they're egregiously past due and maybe they've had one extension already, then maybe not. But if this is the first time, oftentimes they'll get more time. And if there's kids involved, then a court is typically more inclined to give more time because default judgments involving kids and child custody, I should say, are typically disfavored. Okay, but then take scenario one. Let's say a party doesn't show up. They've been served, they're past due. Default judgment motion's been filed. It's been noticed for hearing. They don't show up to court. Let's say they do not appear at the courthouse, then typically the court proceeds on the motion for default, and typically the motion will be granted. Again, there could be some reason why the judge doesn't do it, and this isn't an absolute, but generally speaking, the court will grant the default judgment unless there's some reason not to. You know, maybe there's improper service here, or maybe there's some other concern, let's say. But if the court grants the default judgment, then what ends up happening is the default divorce is granted, so the parties are divorced, and then the party who filed the case and served the party, I mean, typically they get what they want. So whatever it is they're asking for in terms of the disposition of the case, they typically get it. So in terms of the division of marital property and debt, what it is they want, if they're the only ones there, they get it. In terms of child custody, if they're the only ones there, typically, they get the child custody award they're looking for. In terms of child support and spousal support, whatever their request is, typically they get it. And so an analogy I've used with clients for years is think forfeit. You know, if there was a sports game that was taking place, one team shows up, the other team doesn't show up, right? The team that doesn't show up typically gets the loss, right? They forfeited the game. Here, if a party doesn't answer, they don't file their responsive pleadings, they don't show up to court to try to get more time or file their responsive pleadings, typically things don't turn out well for them. So look, a big moral to the story here is don't do this. If you've been served papers, get a lawyer. Make sure you filed what you need to file in the case, so you don't end up in default. Ending up in default is a very, very bad thing and not something most parties want to have happen to them, okay? The results are typically worse than what it would be if an individual hired a lawyer and did what they needed to do, all right? More info on this topic. A lot of parties ask, well, how long does it take to get a default divorce again? Now, this is going to vary based on case and locality, but again, the divorce has to be filed, and then the other party has to be served, and then the time has to lapse. Missouri's 30 days. Other states have different time frames. So you have to wait for that time to lapse, and then you have to notice the default judgment motion for hearing, and typically you have to give notice of that, and that's going to vary based on state. It could be 7 days in Missouri. Other states, it could be a different time frame. And so, look, it's going to take some time, even a default divorce. I mean, 60 days, 90 days. It's going to vary, but maybe somewhere in that range would be kind of a best case scenario. And of course, it depends on the judge's docket. How busy is the judge? The more busy a judge is, the more clogged up their docket. This might take longer. The less clogged up a judge's docket might be, then, you know, it could be the last time. So it's just going to, it's going to vary. If a party, you know, is ultimately defaulted on a divorce, and let's say after the fact, they're not happy with this and they're not happy with the result and they want to do something about it. Lots of individuals ask, well, what do I do then? Well, you've got to hire a lawyer and file a motion to set aside the default judgment. And the quicker somebody does that, the better. And again, the timelines on that is going to vary based on state. And courts can be more lenient on setting aside default judgments based on the cause, the reasons, like why didn't the person respond? Was there good reasons? Were there not good reasons? And then if there's kids involved, courts are typically more likely to set aside a default judgment if there's kids involved versus if there's not kids involved, okay? So that can make a big difference there in terms of default judgments, okay? But again, at the end of the day, if you've been served divorce papers, it's important to hire a lawyer and file responsive pleadings, even if you want the divorce. I mean, in terms of the disposition, you need to file an answer, responsive pleadings, to make sure the result is fair and just and something you can live with. It's very, very important in terms of what happens after a default judgment is entered. Again, I mean, the party who has a favorable terms has the ability to enforce the terms of the default judgment. So maybe collecting child support or spousal support or getting the property that was awarded to them and enforcing the child custody decision. And so again, somebody wants to set aside a default judgment, the sooner the better. It is really, really, really important in terms of these default judgments. All right, well, this is the topic at hand, and I've really covered what it is I wanted to cover today. So again, as a follow-up to the episode, go on over to our blog, DivorceLawyersSt.Louismo.com, and read the article titled, What is a Default Divorce in St. Louis? For more information on this topic. But thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned to our next episode of Family Law Talk coming up. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Family Law Talk with Kirk Stange. Visit StangeLawFirm.com for more about today's topic or to put Stange Law Firm to work for your family today. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements. Neither the Supreme Court of Missouri or Illinois reviews or approves certifying organizations or specialist designations. The information you obtained in this podcast is not, nor is it intended to be, legal advice. You should consult an attorney for advice regarding your individual situation. We invite you to contact us and welcome your calls, letters, and electronic mail. Contacting us does not create an attorney-client relationship. Please do not send any confidential information to us until such time as an attorney-client relationship has been established. Past results afford no guarantee of future results, and every case is different and must be judged on its own merits. Kirk Stange is responsible for the content. Headquarters, office, 120 South Central Avenue, Suite 450, Clayton, Missouri, 63105. Kirk Stange is licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Kansas.